Arm's Length and Mo Kenny come to town on July 9th. Hip-hop pioneer Souls of Mischief are here on July 21st, and we'll get some hardcore action with Spaced on July 23rd. Almond Monica brings Arabic Jazz to Kingston on August 7th, and finally, August 9th, you can see Lucero Ben Nichols. For tickets and full information on these and other awesome shows, visit kppconcerts.com.
Hello, tis I, DJ Tangent, host of CFRC's Numbers with Wings. I have good news, at least I think it is. Jesse has given me another hour, so my show will now go from 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. on Sundays. So now you'll have 2 hours of songs, stories, tangents, and local concert news. Tune in, Sundays at 1 until 3, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca.
Welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. This is a show that focuses on new and established songwriters from Atlanta, Canada, across Canada, and around the world. Hello, and thanks for tuning in. This week's show is featuring Ruth Manning. We recorded Ruth at the Pizza Lupa up in Wolfville, Nova Scotia. We had Mike Glenn doing some chatting with her. Also on the bill are Glenn and Trigano, who is Mike Glenn and Nancy Trigano, and Kimberly Matheson. So they'll close out the show today. Stay tuned with Ruth Manning.
We love to learn about the lives of the people that that write the music that we listen to. And so we're going to be exploring some of the journeys of our incredible Nova Scotian artists. And today's featured guest is really the epitome of East Coast storytelling. She's a lifelong resident of Annapolis Valley. And she's an incredible vocalist who was actually inducted into the Nova Scotia Country Music Hall of Fame. Whether she's leading her fantastic band, The Prospectors, or sharing her quietest, most vulnerable truths with just an acoustic guitar, her music connects deeply through the hearts of through the heartfelt original music that she writes. So, Ruth, we're going to dig back. We're going to go back a little bit first. We're going to begin talking about where it began for you. And I want to focus a little bit on the Best Girls era. Mm-hmm. So this is when you grew up singing with your sisters. I spelled it wrong. Yep. Di, Judy, and Kim in a group called the Best Girls.
Yep. So my last name was Best. That's where that comes from. Yep.
Okay. Wow. Best Actually, girls. I only know the Manning. So yep, that's all right. Yep. We're learning. So how did singing with the family so early shape your ear for country music?
Well, I grew up with it, and I literally was born into it. So somewhere, I asked my sister the other day, do you still have the cassette? A few years ago, we found these cassettes that my dad used to record us as we were singing, and it was them singing, and you can hear this little, very little person in the background going, bah, bah, you know, trying to sing and not even able to talk yet, and that was me. So I didn't have much choice. Three older sisters, they were already at it, and it started with one, and then two, and then three, and I was the last one, so yeah. Hmm. So I literally jumped into that group, and I was the shy one, believe it or not.
Was there like a song or something that you guys were doing that really lit it up for you at that time?
It was anything. I mean, we lived to sing. You know, after supper, every night, we sat down in the living room and sang, and that was just, that's just what we did.
Who played piano?
Nobody at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did that later, but my sister played guitar. My oldest sister played the guitar, and so we just focused on the singing.
So you've spent 18 years performing with the band Triple Time after that as you grew older.
Yep.
Before stepping out into your own band, which is now the Ruth Manning and the Prospectors. I think that started in 2016 or so.
That's right, yep. So
what was the ultimate push to launch that project?
Well, I think it was just, you know, I played with that one band for a long, long time, but nobody knew who I was. You know, I was just part of that band. So it was time. I was making more music. I was recording more music of my own, writing songs and so on. So it was time for people to know who I was. And, yeah, just time to do something a little different. I was kind of outside of a band for a while, and then we put this band together. Members have changed a little bit. over time, but yeah, we're still going, and so this is the 10th year.
You started to find a little bit of your identity at that point
as a
songwriter as well?
I had written some stuff before that, but it's just kind of coming together now, and the group's just gotten better over time, for sure.
Yeah, and you did most of your writing in the Valley. Any chance that the Valley has made an influence on the kind of writing that you do?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, growing up on a farm, too, right? It's, you know, that's country life. So there's all kinds of songs about that. There's all kinds of songs about just, you know, the scenery, some of it, and just the experiences that you have growing up in that way. So
Any big influences? Maybe any Nova Scotian influences?
I think about Anne Marie, and it's hard to believe that she's 80 years old and still looks amazing. She just turned 80.
I saw her on the Junos there the year before last, and wow.
And they did a big tribute to her at the Opry this past year, too. Phenomenal music. We used to sing some of her songs, and then just anything country. My dad always watched and listened to country music, and that's what we lived and breathed, I think.
Do you ever get a chance to meet her?
No, I haven't met Anne. I was looking at, I saw a commercial about the Anne Marie Center, and I thought, oh, I should go there and see her.
So looking at the songs that you are writing, and maybe even some of the earlier stuff that you have, your music is really known for its deeply personal balancing themes of pure happiness and profound grief at the same time. You're really moving from one place to the next, and your topics are really great, honestly, because you sing about simple things, and then you sing about really deeply personal things at the same time. When you're writing, do you find that the process is therapeutic for you, or is it something that you're doing that's reflective, or is it, how does that process work for you when you're writing?
Yeah, well, it's definitely therapeutic. Like, you know, even the song Almost Home, I wrote about my mom after she passed away. Oof, that was a rough one. I always would introduce it by saying I used a box of Kleenex to write the song, I used a box of Kleenex to record the song, and I used a box of Kleenex to start singing it for people. It was hard to sing for people, you know, live. I can do it now, but the first few times it was like, whoa, I don't know about this. And I remember I was recording with Ryan, and it was like we had to stop.
That's Ryan Roberts.
Can't do this. So, yeah, definitely therapeutic. I mean, it's like you got to get that emotion out in some form, and hopefully it resonates with other people too, because they're going through the same thing.
But. Absolutely, right? And sometimes when we let ourselves be vulnerable as a songwriter, I try to do that too, where I really give a lot of truth without giving it completely away, you know, so I don't sound like I'm like whining or whatever when I'm when I'm writing. But you do a really great job of that balance and keeping it so that it's open for people. They listen to the song, and then I think it can be connected. Somebody can connect to your music exactly the way you want it intended, and others can connect to it in a different way. But either way, you've got lots of that connection, and those connections is what is very likely what led you to the induction to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, for sure.
Here in Nova Scotia, mm-hmm. which is a really phenomenal accomplishment for any songwriter.
Pretty exciting.
What went through your mind when independent music hubs from Nashville to Holland began recognizing a singer-songwriter from small-town Nova Scotia?
Well, it's pretty amazing, actually, to think that, I'm always sort of self-conscious about the song before I sing it to anybody. It's like, I'm not sure that this is any good. Then you put it out there and you see, okay, what are people going to say? And when you put something into those kind of competitions and actually, you know, win those awards, it's pretty amazing, because obviously something must be okay.
Kind of validating, right?
It definitely is, yeah, for sure.
I want to look at one of your songs, Hot Mess. You'd sent that one out, was it a year and a half, 2 years ago? I think maybe it might have been
quite.
Even more.
Yeah, no, it was about a year ago. Yeah, a year and a half maybe.
And, that song really captures like that frazzled feeling of losing keys or forgetting to have a cup of coffee when you really truly need one, or a Diet Pepsi.
Right, exactly.
In your case, can you tell us about writing that track in your music shed with a longtime friend?
Yeah. So Tara Spencer is a great friend. She and I worked with Ryan Cook. It'd be like 11 years ago now, I think. He did a Ryan Cook and the Valley Singers tour, and Tara and I were the Valley Singers. So we went all over the place, all over Nova Scotia. We went to PEI, we went to Cavendish, we went to New Brunswick. We did several dates in Nova Scotia, and so we became good friends. And that's when Tara was just starting to sing. She hadn't sang for anybody hardly before that at all.
No kidding.
Until Ryan, you know, got her to come out and sing harmony with.
And
with
this
her,
year, so. She just got a Juno.
Oh,
for
she's amazing. She's won Canadian Folk Awards and mm-hmm. Music Nova Scotia, all kinds of things, East Coast music. So, yeah, and she's sweet. So yeah. We had a chance. We had always. I'd said, you know, we need to write together. And anyway, we finally made that happen, found a time that worked for both of us. And it was kind of in the middle of winter. And she came to my place and we just sat down. I had the idea. And it was funny because she and Ryan Cook had actually started to write a song called Mess before that, which, you know, there were similarities to it. But anyway, we took our direction thinking about ourselves when you're feeling frazzled, but also, you know, other people that we might know that might be a little frazzled at times or whatever. But, you know, we had lots of laughs as we wrote that song for sure. It was good fun.
Ruth Manning, would you play that song for us right now?
I sure would.
Fantastic.
All right, so a little thing called Hot Mess. She's on the wrong side before she gets out of bed. You can smell the smoke from the wheels turning in her head. Hot coffee spilled down her new blouse. Already a hurt. She leaves the house. Can't find her phone, can't find her key. Can't find the forest for the trees. Running right to the line to make it on time. But her internal clock is 20 minutes behind. Spinning faster. She's a wildfire, call for distress. She knows who she is, be the first to confess. She's a real hot mess. All the commitments, all the times and dates, all the good intentions filling up her plate. She is.
first to confess she's a real hot mess.
Oh, thank you so much. And the song, or the, sorry, the album that I just released in the spring is called This Old House. 4 years ago, that's good, when my mom passed away, we actually moved from the house we were living in that we had built that into the house where my mom was living, which is where I grew up. I grew up there, my dad grew up there, his dad grew up there, and so on and so on it goes. And so the house is about 250-ish years old, something like that. And so I've kind of got into some of the history of it, and you know, you can kind of sit in that old house. It's not fancy, but and start to think about you know, all those kids that were raised in that house and born in that house, many of them, and all the people that, you know, have kind of been through those walls, and if the walls could talk. But anyway, I wrote this song called This Old House, and it tries to capture some of those thoughts. Stones and clay aren't the only foundation. It's been a home to a multitude of generations, molded by hard work inside and out. It was a family's love that built this old house. This old house is where so many children ran and played. Slamming screen doors, mama scolding, some things changed, but some things stayed. This old house, it's not fancy and it's not at all pristine. You won't find it in a Better Homes and Garden magazine. A treasure for its story, there's no doubt. Can't put a price tag on the love in this old. Some things stay. Love and laughter, along with countless happy ever afters, are still ringing through the rafters here today in this old house. This old house. This old house is where so many children ran and played. Slamming screen doors, mama scolding, some things change, but some things stay. This old house. This old house. This old house. Thank you. Thanks so much. And if you actually buy a hard copy of that album, on the inside of that CD cover, there is a picture of the house just about 100 years ago, which is the oldest picture that I could find. Before that, there are no pictures, I don't think. But it's kind of cool to have an actual picture of the house inside that album. So,
you're listening to Songwriters from Here and Away. This is a live recording recorded at Pizza Lupa in Wolfville, Nova Scotia. And host Mike Glenn is talking with Ruth Manning. Look us up online, www.sfhaa.ca. And now back to Ruth Manning with Mike Glenn as our local host.
You just performed a song right now just all by yourself solo, but you have a band.
I do.
And that's Ruth Manning and the Prospectors. I just learned that because you live in the area of Prospect.
Yes.
That makes perfect sense. What a beautiful Nova Scotian connection.
Right. Not the Prospect that's near like Peggy's Cove, but Prospect that's just up here on the mountain, not far from here.
So your band right now is Joel, Bob, Andy, and Scott.
Yep.
So it's five of you all together.
Five of us, yeah.
And how does the dynamic shift when you're switching from sitting here on the piano to when you're in front of the band?
Well, I'm more at ease when I'm with the band. And, you know, we all have a lot of fun. We feed off each other. Mm. You know, these guys have all played for a long, long time. Bob McDonald is in the Hall of Fame as well. He's the steel guitar player. The other guys should be in
there. I've heard him. Phenomenal.
So, yeah, he's the best. Yeah, he's the best steel guitar player in Nova Scotia and beyond, I think, for sure. And his father was a steel player, too, so he's played forever. And a great, great musician. Andy is a fantastic musician, the bass player. He plays, he sings, he plays guitar, he plays steel. He plays all those things, too, but in our band, he plays the bass and does it super, super well. Joel is a monster guitar player, like, you know, very modest guy, very quiet guy, but great, great guitar player. Nobody better as far as I'm concerned. I've been to Nashville, I've listened to lots of people there, and you know, he's just as good as any of them. So he wouldn't say that, but I would.
Well, it's because you're on the air and it's being recorded.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and Scott, he's a great drummer, a great guy. Yes. Yeah, all of them, they're, you know, we're a family, really, and that's what it's about for me.
That makes a big difference when you can actually work and love the people that you're working with.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
has to be that way.
Yeah, and you've written 7, or is it 8 full albums?
Eight. New one makes 8. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But by day, you're living a bit of a double life, almost like Batman or something. Like, because during the day, you're also a rock star at the school board, AVRCE. So you've got two halves of Ruth Manning. How does one part of your life inspire the other?
That's a good question. I think it's a balance of, you know what, when one weighs heavy, then you've got the other to pour into. I kind of feel like that sometimes. It's you know, the music would lift me up, and then I can go back and do some of the other heavier work. Or, you know, sometimes the music gets frustrating. Well, I've got the other things to kind of focus my attention to. And the seasons, throughout the seasons of the year and the seasons of life, you know, there's, you know, the ups and downs, and so there's times when the education stuff had to take precedent over other things because stuff had to be done. So there would be times when the music had to kind of be off to the side, and then it was like, I'll come back and you know, pour some time into that. But, you know, music is what feeds me, I think, and so I've always tried to make time for it. And people have said to me for years, how do you have time to do all the things you do? I don't know, but I just do them. That's all I can say. But I feel like I have to. It's a, you know, it's a much a part of me, the music is, that if I didn't do it, it wouldn't be me. So
I didn't add that you also have a farm.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and I've had a few other jobs along the way too, but we won't even talk about that.
And kids and everything else.
Yeah, we farm on a regular basis. Our son is doing a lot of that now, so that helps a bit. My husband is a sound man when we do the band thing, for the most part. So we are able to go together. When the kids were little, he was home. I was out playing music somewhere. So
that's a great way to...
Well, then I think I want to talk about Nashville a little bit.
My favorite place.
Well, you've been visiting Nashville a lot in the last decade or so?
Oh,
is that
20 years.
Is that
20
right?
20 years,
For
yeah.
20 years you've been visiting Nashville. Mm-hmm. I remember last year you jumped in the car over March break.
A couple of years ago, yeah.
And you drove to Nashville, did some work over there, and then drove back to Nova Scotia and went to work on
work.
Monday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
All like, you, same as normal.
Yeah.
Here she goes, and she's in the car for, oh my gosh. That's
three
a,
days.
That's a lot. What brought you, what, tell me about the Nashville connection for you. What is it about Nashville that that has become like a really quintessential part of Ruth Manning?
Well, back in 2005, I think it was the fall of 2005, I won a contest and the prize was a trip to Nashville. So the people that were in the band Triple Time with me, Frank was a DJ on the radio. So he had, you know, they ran different contests. So they would have people going that, you know, just drew a name out of a hat for, you know, on the radio for someone to win. And so they were involved in that. They had been going down for these conferences. There's something called Country Radio Seminar that's been running for, I think when I went in 1994, it had been running for 25 years. So it's, you know, 50 years now, I guess, or close to it. So they would go for that. And I ended up winning this prize on this contest. And so we went and got the opportunity to sing at a couple of places. That was part of the whole thing. And, you know, that it was like a bug that bit me, I think.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so taking things back from the bright lights of Nashville, back home here in your music shed in Annapolis Valley. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that shed? I don't know anything about it, but I saw when I was looking at questions and finding things to ask about, the shed came up three times in some of the other interviews you've done, but I didn't really get any detail. Tell us a little bit about this great sanctuary, the shed.
Okay, well,
there's got to be a song or something called
maybe,
the shed.
Yeah,
maybe.
So when we moved from I still call it our house and mom's house. I'm having a hard time switching gears on that. But when we moved from the house that we built, so we'd lived in for 27 years, just down the road, back to what I still call mom's house, it's a smaller house. We had a great big space in our basement for band practice. It was beautiful. We had the drum set there all the time. Al had left his drums there. We had a big, you know, big open space, furniture. It was perfect. We didn't have that at the new, you know, the new old place. And there wasn't room to even create that inside. It just wasn't big enough. So, you know, I said, we've got to have a place to practice. We needed to be able to gather and bring the guys in. So we bought this, you know, pre-made shed. And then Mike insulated it and, you know, put wood on the walls
an
and everything.
Shed.
So it is an actual shed, yeah. But it's great. Like, when we first, it's not that big. It's 12 by 24, I think, is the biggest that we could get. And we, you know, finished it with the wood and so on. And we got in there and started to practice and thought, oh boy, this is going to be loud, or it's going to be, you know, what's it going to sound like? But it actually sounds really good because of all the wood on the walls and everything. Yeah, it absorbs the sound, and it's a great little spot.
Do you find you do most of your writing in that space, or do you write in a different area? Is there, like, do you have a routine?
Yeah, well, I've written some, like, when I'm writing with someone else, so Tara, she came and we wrote in the shed, and I've been doing a little bit of writing with others and spent in that space. And sometimes it's just a nice, quiet place to go, because then there's, you know, there's nobody else in there, the dog's not in there, you know, all that sort of stuff is just separate. So that's nice. But I do have a little spot. When I was a little kid, there was a little spot upstairs in the house that, you know, was just a little corner, really at the top of the steps kind of thing, that I used to like to sit and read or, you know, play with stuff or whatever in this little tiny corner. And I got looking when we moved there, I'm thinking, okay, this would be just big enough to fit one of these pianos up there. And so, yep, sure enough, moved things around, and I have a little bit smaller one of these that's my practice piano, and it's permanently in that spot. And that's a place where I write quite often, but I don't like people to hear me when I'm writing. So it's when everybody's out of the house, or, you know, and that's why I like the shed, because I can go out there and nobody's listening, and, you know, it's a good, quiet, private spot. I don't like anybody to hear things until, even when it's done, I'm always nervous about somebody hearing something, but that's the way it goes.
Totally empathize. Completely. I think, Ruth, we would like to listen to some more of your incredible music.
Okay.
If you've got a couple more songs for us.
I do. All right. Well, my family members keep popping up in these songs for lots of reasons that you can imagine. There we go. And I just put a video out, I think June-ish, for this song. And my son is a mechanic. So he's ever since he was little, he was tearing things apart, putting things together, building things, all that kind of stuff. Now he actually is a Red Seal mechanic, and he loves to tinker with old trucks and drag things home that you think, okay, what are you going to do with that? But anyway, I wrote this song called A Boy and His Trucks, so I'll give that one a try for you. And he got to be in the video, you know, spinning his wheels and doing all kinds of fun stuff, so you can check that out on YouTube as well.
With her blonde hair and her smile, he didn't even notice. He just rolled right on by. No room in his heart for any girl that he could see. His love was revving engines in an old F-O-R-D. The older the better, they're worn and they're weathered. You might nothing in the world's gonna come between a boy and his trucks. And even if his buddies say that right there's perfection, he's likely to come back at them with some blunt correction. You see, he's not interested in those girls that flirt. He'd rather be out rolling coal and spinning in the dirt. Just keep driving. Nothing in the world's gonna come between a boy and his trucks. One day he stopped at its tracks. She stole his heart with one look. There's no turning back. The pretty. She's riding shotgun with him in his old truck seat. The older, the better. They're worn and they're weathered. You might think he's down on his love. Now she's keen on riding, so he'll just keep driving. Cause a little girl rocks his world and jumps into the seat of his truck. Little girl rocked his world and jumped into the seat of his truck.
All right, thank you so much. So check out that video. It is kind of cute. My son Jesse is in it, and his girlfriend is in it too, so it's kind of fun. He's been in some videos before, and actually, he's in a video for this song. Sorry, I confused Robert by putting the guitar down. Now I picked it back up again. I changed my mind. There we go. So Jesse, when he was quite a bit younger, was in a video for this song. I sing at a Remembrance Day ceremony in Berwick most every year. And I sang, felt like I was singing the same songs every time. And so one year I thought, that it was the night before Remembrance Day, I thought, I should write a song for that. So I came up with a song the night before, and it happened to be this one, and we created a video with this as well. It's called Unsung Heroes. When you
sacrifice.
You're listening to Ruth Manning on Songwriters from Here and Away, a live concert recorded in Wolfville, Nova Scotia. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening to our show. We have Ruth Manning in the room with local host Mike Glenn. Don't forget that this radio show is also out as a podcast. Often the shows are longer as a podcast, and we have added songs and features and interview pieces. Please look us up, share us, and tell your friends. We would love to have them on board. SFHAA.ca. And we have one more song coming from Ruth, and then we'll turn it over to Kimberly Matheson and Glenn and Trigano.
We talked about Nashville and sort of how Nashville calls me every, not literally, but you know, figuratively, I'm called to Nashville every so often. I get the itch to get there. And many years ago, I don't even know how many now, probably a dozen or so, I wrote this song about that. I had just come back from Nashville and it was still calling me back. So this is called Tennessee Calling.
Name would be up in lights, making music and money, and selling out every night. The ties that bound her kept her close to home. But those crazy dreams wouldn't leave her alone. She was afraid Tennessee calling. said I'm leaving here on Friday. It seems all right that she'd soon be gone. 2 short months later, she was dialing that phone. She said, honey, I miss you. It's Tennessee calling. She said, it's Tennessee.
Was a song that when I wrote it, I wasn't sure it was going to be good enough to record, and now it's become one of my favorites.
Please give it up one more time for Ruth Manning.
Thank you, thank you.
Chuck, what an absolute joy having you on stage here with us, Ruth. I'm very sad to say that this part of our show is now coming to an end.
I'm
just so happy to share the stage with you. So
thank you.
Please,
so
one more
much.
Time.
Thanks for having me.
Ruth Manning.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us, folks. We appreciate it.
So this part of our show, this is where we transition a little bit from the current vibe with that Ruth set up for us. I want to introduce you to Kimberly Matheson, who is she does a lot in our community for music. Yeah, I'm really pleased to have her up again. So thank you. Please, a big hand for Kimberly Matheson.
I was producing an album a few years ago up at the Hubman Brothers Studios, and it was November, and it was really warm. And we took a break, and we went outside, and it was a full moon, and there was just this big halo around the moon. And it was inspiration for this song. It's the title cut from my third studio album called Sweet Spot. Angels keep their watch, there's a halo around the moon. Warm winds brush my cheek, love dances. So easy though,
Thank you so much, Kimberly Matheson. Wow, what a treat. Beautiful. All right, I'm going to invite Nancy Trigano to come up for our very last part of our show tonight. All right, so we have a new project, Nancy and I. I met Nancy through a friend, I guess around, it was a Night Kitchen show. And I wanted to play a new song that I just finished, and a friend of mine said, you know what would be amazing is if Nancy Trigano joined you. And I hadn't met her, actually, at that point. This was back just before Christmas. And honestly, this is an incredible human being right here. She's a terrific person.
Thanks, Mike.
And a wonderful, wonderful songwriter. And anyway, we're going to play one of her songs. And then we're going to play a song that we just collaborated on.
Your back. tried new things. We sprouted wings. We made questionable choices. We lost, we won. We came undone. We tried to find our voices. And now we found our voices.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
All right, so this next song is something that we just finished, and we actually played for the first time at the with Kimberly at the Tan coffee shop there, which was kind of fun. This is a song called Silly Little Boy. And it's really about reflecting on, you know, ourselves as an adult, looking back at in the past and kind of thinking about some of those some of our learnings and the things that we did, and coming to terms with some of the challenges that we faced back then, and finding a piece of freedom, I think, when we get a bit older and we kind of depart from that part of our lives and enter into a brand new journey. And this one is really about that trip. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that takes us to the end of our show.
After 9 long months, Gale's Game Day makes its triumphant return to CFRC.
Queens Gales, we're golden once more.
Tune in on Sunday, August 30th at 6:45 p.m. to catch all the action that makes you stand up and say...
OMG!
This is Canada's most exhilarating sports broadcast.
And it's picked off, picked off, picked off.
This is Canada's gold standard of football action.
The Gales stop the Griffins short.
This is Gales Game Day.
Running hard, breaking away. Touchdown, Queens.
And it can only be found on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Are you tired of your boring weekly routine? Are you looking for something to look forward to every Friday? Well, tune in to Circadian Rhythm on CFRC 101.9 Fridays at 2 p.m. for a fresh mix of songs that you'll want to keep on repeat. I'm your host, Justine, and I'll be putting together a music program that's broadly indie and alternative, but also spans diverse genres from pop to rock to folk and R&B. I've also got some fun themes up my sleeve. Once again, that's Circadian Rhythm, Fridays at 2 p.m. I hope I'll see you then.
There's no place like home.
There really is no place like home. It's where life happens, where dreams are built, and where you land at the end of every day. But what home looks like is different for everyone. Welcome to Finding Your Way Home. Real talk on real estate. I'm Sherry Doherty, and together we'll explore what finding your way home truly means, whether you're buying your first place, making a move, investing, or choosing a different path altogether. Because home isn't just a place. It's a feeling, it's a choice, and it's personal. Tune in Mondays at 10 a.m. and start finding your way home.